Good morning, Ashworth. In case you don't know who I am, I'm Captain America. No, my name is Steve Rogers. That's the truth. But I'm not Captain America. How many sang that song this morning, "Even When I Don't Feel It, You're Working, and really believe that? Yeah, it's you were singing it like you believed it. I think that's a message that maybe more than almost anything in the Christian journey we have to hold on to, that God is at work at all times in our lives, working to bring about His purposes and His plan for us. We're continuing in our series, Living the Dream. And today I'm going to talk about living the dream when there's injustice, when you're thrown in prison, when life isn't working right, and you still have success. Talking about Joseph. For those who may not be up to speed with the story, Joseph was the son of Jacob, second to the youngest of his sons. He had 12 sons, and he was a favored son. Joseph just seemed to really dote over Joseph. Jacob seemed to really dote over Joseph. Gave him a beautiful coat. There's even been a Broadway play about it. The coat of many colors. The multicolor, or however that says. Technicolor, thank you. But it was an ornate coat, a beautiful coat. And it singled Joseph. Thank you. I told my wife and my mother here sitting down here this morning, I said, I'm going to switch these words up. It's good to hear that Brent did it too with that slide. Brent is 50 years old. Wow. I have a son that's 50 years old. anyway, I digress. Happy birthday, Brent. So anyway, if you hear my mother and my wife coaching me, you meant Joseph, you said Jacob, or vice versa. That's what's going on here. Feel free to join in. 17-year-old Joseph, hated by his brothers because he tattled on them. He reported back to Dad that they had done something that Joseph didn't like. And so he reported back to Jacob that they were doing some things wrong. Then he came out with a dream that he'd had that showed them brothers, those brothers bowing before him. And then he even added in a dream that his mom and dad would also be bowing in before him. So he was not looked well upon. In fact, they hated him and they wanted to kill him. And instead of killing him, they threw him in a cistern and held him there for a while, and then they sold him into slavery to a caravan that was passing by on the way to Egypt. And he was carried down to Egypt, and he was sold to a guy named Potiphar. He was a ranking individual in Egypt, and he became the head servant in Potiphar's house. Potiphar took a liking to him, and put everything in his charge, under Joseph's charge. And also Potiphar's wife took a liking to him. The scripture tells us that he was handsome and well-built. Uh-oh, there was a problem. She had improper thoughts toward Joseph, and she tried to seduce him. And he resisted. He said, I wouldn't dishonor my boss, my lord and master Potiphar. That way it wouldn't be right. I won't do it. He resisted. Finally, she caught him alone, and she trapped him in the house, and she tried to pull him in to her bedroom. And he pulled away from her, and in pulled away, she held onto his coat. And he ran away with her holding his coat. And she then screamed and ran out into the street And the other servants who were outside heard it and said, "He tried to rape me. He tried to rape me. He was falsely accused." And then she reported to Potiphar, "See, I've got his coat here. He did this." And Potiphar was angry with him and had him thrown in prison. And that's where we pick up the story today in Genesis chapter 39. I'm going to start reading right at the end of chapter 39. "But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them." Now, did you see that language there? By what measure can being so unjustly treated, I mean hated by his brothers, sold into slavery, imprisoned, falsely accused, by what measure can being treated that way be described as being favored, walking in the Lord's presence, and successful? Isn't there a bit of a disconnect there? By our standards, if we looked at this guy's life, he'd been rejected by his family. He had been falsely accused. He'd been sold into slavery. He was now in jail. And yet the scripture is telling us here that the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Even when I don't feel it, he's with me, we sang this morning. Well, the question is, because we find this happens to Joseph over and over in his life, he goes into these circumstances that are horrific by our standards. I tried to go to jail once, and I was unsuccessful. Joseph went to jail and he was successful. Now go figure. Why was Joseph able to hold it together through this trying season in his life? I want to back up a little bit and give some background. If you're not familiar with the whole story, Joseph was the son, as I said, of Jacob. Jacob was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. So Joseph was the great-grandson of Abraham. Jacob had had some rough time in his own life. He wasn't all that great of a guy in the early going, but he finally came around, and we find out that Jacob also had dreams. Jacob had dreams. He had two dreams that we know of. One of his, the most famous one, you maybe heard of Jacob's ladder. Jacob's ladder, where he saw a ladder clear up into heaven and angels going up and down on the ladder, and standing at the top of the ladder was the Lord God. And God spoke to Jacob in the dream and said, "This land where your head is laying is going to be the land I give you, as I promised to your father Abraham and your father Isaac." Jacob had experiences like that. Jacob wrestled with an angel, with the Lord, some scholars say, in the nighttime, because he had been running for his life from his brother Esau that he had cheated out of the birthright of his family. And now it's years later, and Esau's gone off, and he's made a life for himself, and Jacob has made a life for himself, and he's got all these sons, and he's got all these flocks of, he's a prosperous man. And he decides, I got to get it right. I got to get it fixed with Esau. And so he goes out seeking Esau to reconcile with him. And he has this wrestling match the night before, after he sends all of that in front of him to go and meet Esau. He has this wrestling match with this individual representing or being God himself in physical form. And all night they wrestle, and Jacob's saying, bless me, bless me, bless me. I'm scared. I want to change this. I want to fix it. And the angel of the Lord struck him in his hip and said, you're going to walk with a limp from now on, Jacob. Somebody said to me one time, never trust a leader who doesn't walk with a limp. Maybe you've heard that statement. Jacob was humbled. Jacob was brought down. And he eventually ran to his brother Esau, and they embraced. And they kissed each other in Middle Eastern fashion. And there was restoration and healing that took place. Now, fast forward years later, here's young Joseph, 17 years old and younger, favored by his father. And do you suppose that those father and son times that they had together, that Jacob didn't tell some of these stories? Jacob poured in to Joseph, told him about how God had spoken to him, told him how he felt the covenant blessing was upon him, told him about the dreams, told him how God works in people's lives to move them forward in the plan of God. And Joseph had that knowledge. I'm not sure his older brothers had that knowledge, because I'm not sure they had that kind of quality time with their dad. But Joseph did. And Joseph had that within him, forming, shaping him, affecting how he thought. And so when all of these injustices came along in his life, we find him able to sustain himself through the hard time. Joseph had foundational input that opened his spiritual awareness to dreams that come from God. Now, my younger brother, Brent, Christian brother, like Joseph, came and tattled to you people a couple weeks ago and told you that I didn't like Joseph. How many heard him say that? Yeah, there some of you, many of you did. He said, I said that. Well, I did. In our sermon preparation meeting time, we were talking about Joseph in his younger days, lacking wisdom, saying things he probably shouldn't have said, offending his brothers. Well, I'm here today to tell you I've changed my mind. I like Joseph. And you know why I like Joseph? Because as I was preparing for this message, I thought, you know, there's another way to look at Joseph talking about his dreams. Can you possibly imagine that Joseph, the young teenager, having this incredible dream that showed his brothers bowing down to him and his mother and father bowing down to him. Can you imagine him running to dad and say, hey, dad, I had a dream too. And he was entering into identity with his dad. He wasn't boasting. He wasn't being snotty. Maybe not at all. Maybe he was just trying to say, hey, you had dreams, and I've had dreams. We're cool. I get it. I'm with you in the spiritual journey. Another way to look at it. Probably a little of both, I suppose. But Joseph matured in long seasons of isolation and silence that changed him from a selfish boaster, as some considered him, to a servant-hearted empath. Joseph became a trustee in the jail. And he was put in charge of all of the prisoners, and he had empathy toward them. What is it that changed Joseph from the brash, overly confident, unwise young man that he started out to be, to what he became in this story that we're talking about today? Last Wednesday at our prayer class, Pastor Brent shared a prayer, or I would call it an admonition, by a guy named Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, a Jesuit priest. Listen to these words. Above all, trust in the slow work of God. We are quite naturally impatient in everything to reach the end without delay. We should like to skip the intermediate stages. We're impatient of being on the way to something unknown, something new. And yet it is the law of all progress that it is made by passing through some stages of instability, and that it may take a very long time. And so I think it is with you. Your ideas mature gradually. Let them grow. Let them shape themselves without undue haste. Don't try to force them on as though you could be today what time, that is to say grace and circumstances acting on your own goodwill, what time will make of you tomorrow. Only God could say what this new spirit gradually forming within you will be. And accept the anxiety of feeling yourself in suspense and incomplete. That's what happened to Jacob. As he, over a period of number of years, 10 or 12 years, he was in prison. And his life was changing, and his heart was changing, and his outlook was changing, and he had this spiritual formation going on within him through the journey. Like we've been saying here this morning, even when we don't feel it, he's with us. He's working us. He's forming us. He's shaping us. Now, living the dream, we called it that because this whole thing centers around dreams. Let's read on. Genesis chapter 40, verse 9. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand." I think I might have skipped something here. I shouldn't have. Let me back up just a little bit. When Joseph was given a charge over things in the prison, and after they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker and the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. And when Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in the master's house, "Why are your faces so sad today?" See, he had compassion on them. He cared about them. He wasn't just focusing on himself. And so he came to them, they said, "We both had dreams." And so the cupbearer told him his dream. "And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup and put the cup in his hand." "This is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison." Joseph was in a real spot, and he wanted to get out. Listen, life does deal with us some hard things. We get ourselves into messes, and some things happen to us that are just totally unjust. Joseph didn't deserve what was going on with him, but it was happening. Let me just say that God does allow us to go through things, but we should never abandon the hope that we're going to get out of it. And if you're in an abusive situation where your life is threatened, I am not suggesting, please do not hear me saying that you just have to stick it out. You have to just tough up and take it. No, God working in us builds hope within us to find a way out of this situation. And sometimes you have to take action to get there. And Joseph saw an opportunity here as he reached out to these guys and said, "What's going on with you guys? Tell me what's going on." And they said, they told him his dream. And Joseph said, dreams belong to God. Interpretations belong to God. And then he came forward with this interpretation. But he said, get me out of here. You have Pharaoh's ear. Get me out of here. Well, then the baker said, when the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I too had a dream. On my head were three baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my hand." "This is what it means," Joseph said. "The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat away your flesh." Well, a little different, yeah. Now, Joseph had said at the beginning, interpretations belong to God. And if Joseph had been totally self-serving, he would have given that baker some kind of good news too, so that maybe he could be an ambassador for Joseph to the Pharaoh too. But he was honest. Joseph had sensitivity to the Spirit. He had sensitivity to God and how he works through dreams. And he told the truth. He said, "It's not going to be the same for you, baker man." Dreams. I'm of the opinion that our lifestyle today in 21st century America is we're too busy, too active, too distracted, too encompassed with noise that we understand or even are aware of some of the dreams God wants to give us. God still works through dreams. You know, the scriptures go on and tell many stories of people having dreams that God gave them. But I'll just refer you to what happened on the day of Pentecost after Jesus rose from the dead and the Holy Spirit was poured out on the first Christians, the first Christ followers. Peter stood up to explain what was happening with this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And he quoted from the prophet Joel, and he said, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days." Brent's old enough to have dreams now, yes. Very good, Tim. Yes, God gives us dreams. I had a dream once that I know was from God. I don't know if I've shared this here before or not, but I'll quickly retell it. After I came to Christ and surrendered my life to the Lord in the Jesus movement and quickly enrolled in Bible college to learn the Bible and to I wasn't really thinking career at that point. I just wanted to know the Bible. And I'd already lost a year of college because of my screwing around. And so I wanted to catch up and get back on schedule to graduate 4 years after starting college. And so I was taking as many extra hours as they would give me, summer school and all of that. And I was also working a job, and I was busy, study, cramming. And I began to wear down. I began to get tired. I began to get weary, and I began to hear voices kind of in my brain saying, boy, I sure would like to take a toke right now. I sure would like to get stoned again. I sure would like to drop some more acid. I sure would like to party. I'm so tired. And one night I had a dream. If you're familiar with the south side of Des Moines, you drive down going north on Southwest 9th, you get down to where McRae Park is, and there on the east side of the road, of the street, there used to be a funeral home. And on that funeral home, there was an illuminated clock right up on the front face of the funeral home. And in my dream, as I drove down Southwest 9th, as I always did in the party days when we used to throw frisbees back and forth and smoke dope in McRae Park, I looked at the clock and it was midnight. And as I looked at that clock, this ugly, scary, bat-like creature just came out of that clock and just zoomed right at me in my dream. And it was just coming straight for me. And that was before electric windows. I was cranking on my window to get my window up in my dream. I was cranking so I wouldn't get, that thing couldn't get me. And I just barely got the window up, and that thing was flapping and banging against the car trying to get me. And then I sat up, and I was shook. It scared the bejesus out of me, I'm telling you. I was sweating. My heart was just a-pounding. And then I heard a quiet voice in my spirit, and the voice said, Steve, if you go back, that thing will get you. I never went back. That was over 50 years ago. Dreams matter. God will speak to us through dreams. Dreams can be very hope-giving. Joseph's original dream, I'm going to rise up and be important in this family, and I'm going to have a leadership role in my future. That was a hope-giving dream. The cupbearer's dream was a hope-giving dream. Hey, 3 days, you're out. You're going to be restored to your job. But dreams can be warnings, too. Dreams can caution us of the way we're going. Like happened with the baker, like happened with me and many others throughout time. Dreams are directive. We read about the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. He was thinking he wanted to take his mission team to Asia. He was kept trying to go toward Asia, but the doors kept closing. He kept bumping into a brick wall, so to speak. And finally, in a dream, he saw a man from Macedonia back toward the east, back toward Greece. And he said, the man in the dream said, come and help us. Come and help us. And the scriptures tell us that Paul perceived that God was saying, you need to go that way. You need to go west, not east. And he found direction. And timing is a part of God's interpretation. God gets to decide the timing. Jacob had a dream that he's been holding on for 10 years, and it hadn't come about. But the cupbearer, Joseph had a dream. Did I say Jacob? Joseph had a dream that it's 10 years. The cupbearer has a dream, and he gets told 3 days. 3 days, you're out of here. It's God's timing. Friends, let's read on. Now, the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. And we're going to leave Joseph there and pick it up next week. Even when I don't feel it, even when I don't see it, he's working. You know, God has a dream for us. God has a dream for every one of you. And God is invested in that dream. He holds the interpretation to it. Now, not everything we read in the Bible is prescriptive. In other words, we all don't have to go to jail to be centered in God's will. But there's a long list of individuals in the scriptures through whom God has done some of his best character-forming, life-altering work while imprisoned or running as a fugitive. You can read about them. King David was one. He was a fugitive for many years. Jeremiah was thrown in jail. Jeremiah the prophet. Daniel thrown in the lion's den. Paul, who wrote half the New Testament. Many of the epistles that he wrote are labeled the prison epistles, things he wrote while he was in jail. Even in more modern times, we think of Martin Luther King, who wrote a powerful treatise, a letter to the Christian community of his day called The Letter from the Birmingham Jail. If you've never read that, you should. Go home and look it up. It is such a strong word, I believe, from God, coming out of a man that's wrongly jailed. Of course, Jesus, what did he have to go through? He said, they're going to take me. They're going to arrest me. They're going to beat me. And then they're going to hang me on a tree. They're going to crucify me. And he went through all of that. The night before he was betrayed, he took bread. Worship team, you can get ready here. He took bread after they had eaten, and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup and he said, "This cup is a new covenant that I'm making with you with my blood. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are showing, you are remembering, you are depicting, you are identifying with my death. Until I come back." He said, "I so look forward to eating this supper with you because it's going to be the last time I do so until I do it again in the kingdom." He served every one of them. He washed their feet first. He knew. He had told them ahead. He said, "I know you're going to go through some tough times. You're going to be despised and rejected. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to have tribulation," he said. "But I've overcome the world. But please know, as you remember the bread and the cup, as you remember me, I've suffered through all this stuff. I know what it feels like. I've been there. I've been falsely accused. I've been judged and condemned and executed for you. When you do it, remember me." And I believe he was also saying, "Bring your sorrows, your sufferings, your pain." The prophet Isaiah said, "With his stripes we are healed." We come to the Lord's table to remember him. And if you're here today and you're going through some stuff, health issues, financial issues, doubt, fear, confusion, uncertainty about things, broken relationships, you name it. If you're here today and life isn't working the way you think it should, bring it to the table. And remember Jesus. Because after they buried him in the grave, and we'll talk about this at Easter time, he busted out of that grave. And he rose again. And he gives us the hope. Paul wrote to the Romans. He said this in Romans. Well, I got to get there. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Remember I said God always brings us toward hope through our suffering? Paul put it this way, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. God's timing isn't necessarily the same as we would like it, but God is instilling hope, and God is cracking open a door to an opportunity like he did with the cupbearer and Joseph to get on to a better thing.